Spider-Man.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this, the Amazing Spider webcast, issue 37. Once Upon a Time, There Was a Robot is the title, which is pretty great. It's just like, how should we start this? Once Upon a Time, and then I can picture it's like Stan Lee laying on a couch, and he's just like, well, maybe if I start with a phrase, and then it'll just keep rolling. You know what I mean? If I start talking, it'll turn into an idea. And so he's like, once upon a time, there was a robot. He's like, we got it. We got it. We're ready to go. Now, there's been a robot far more than once upon a time. But, you know, whatever. I guess this is like a bedtime story, Spider-Man. So, you know, whatever. We open with, as many Spider-Man stories, especially from this era, seem to, with some guy getting out of prison, which is always seems to be a very evil-looking scientist type who is like, you know, and the cops are like, oh, you're a model prisoner. You're great. And the person is like, these dolts have no idea that I'm secretly an evil villain. And it's like, man, prison guards in these comics, worst judgment of all time. You know what I mean? And they're like, oh, I guess it's funny because, like, I guess, you know, these evil scientists are in prison and then, you know, they get out because they were good prisoners. And it's like, yeah, I mean, they had no access to their super evil science lab. So I would think they probably can resist most of their normal activities. But then this guy comes to pick him up, the evil professor, and he's like, glad to see you, Strom. I got everything all set like you wanted. And Strom is like, do not forget yourself, Max. You will address me as professor. Which I was like, first of all, this guy's coming to pick you up from prison. So, like, maybe cut him some slack. But it does kind of jive with what I know of, especially college professors. They seem real stuck on, like, being referred to in this super professional way, which I always thought was I always flash back to. I read this article a while ago, and it was this lady who was saying that, like, you shouldn't tell your students they can call you, you know, if your name's Cliff, they can call you Cliff. Because she was like, I worked really hard to become a professor, and I don't want to be addressed as Janine. You know, I want to be Professor Melnitz. And so, and, you know, but I was like, this is kind of a flawed concept, though, because I'm like, you want, like, 19-year-olds to respect the work you put in as a professor, but they don't know the difference between you and someone who's hired as an adjunct instructor. You know what I mean? It's like, and also, it's not really their job to know that. And also, I'm like, I mean, I don't think people, your students are trying to be disrespectful that way. They're just like, whatever. Calm down is what I'm saying. You're being hysterical. Okay. So he's getting out of jail and getting in the car, right? And then Foswell, the reporter, who is like an ex-con who's now working for the Bugle, is watching the professor get in a car. Then there's a guy who's watching Foswell watch the professor, who's getting ready to shoot Foswell. And then Spider-Man is watching that guy. And stops Foswell from getting shot. So there's a guy being watched by a guy being watched by a guy being watched by Spider-Man. I'm like, this feels overly complex for, you know, whatever. But that's kind of the theme of this issue, is an overly complex story that I don't think I fully understand. However, on the next page, we do get Spider-Man in a hat. So he gets in. He gets in the car with the guy who was gonna shoot Foswell, and is like, "Follow that car," which makes no sense. Now he does steal the guy's hat and is wearing it, and it looks hilarious. It looks a lot like if you've seen the movie Batman and Robin, when Bane is driving a car, and it's like, well, he's wearing a full wrestler mask, and he has giant green glow in the dark tubes coming out of his head. But he did put on a hat, so it's like, eh, no one. He's also gigantic. But, you know, it's like, eh, who's going to notice? So anyway, They're driving, which, you know, and then it's like they're losing, they lose the car at a light or something like that. They get lost downtown, and I was like, and then so Spider-Man gets out and like swings away. And I was like, wait a minute. Isn't the whole reason that Spider-Man swings around instead of having a car? It's like not realistic in Manhattan traffic to be driving around. You know what I mean? Like Batman doesn't work in Manhattan because it's like, where's he going to go? What's he going to do? How is he going to drive around? I mean, come on. Come on. So anyway, Spider-Man, you know, Peter Parker follows Foswell back to the Bugle and then decides to plant a spider tracer on him so that he can keep track of his whereabouts because he's like, Foswell might be in trouble or, you know, something's going on. So what he does is he puts it in the little hat band on his hat. And I'm like, yeah, when did the hat band, I guess that went out of style when sort of hats went out of style, right? Which now I'm like, what did we ever do? Like, how did we make that transition away from the hat band? How would anyone know you were in the press unless you had a little card that said press in your hat band? And it's like, well, I guess they don't wear ball caps now. Maybe people in the press still wear one that say press. Pete from the Newsly News. And, you know, it's like, okay, that makes sense. The evil professor gets to work on a robot and builds a robot that looks weird. I'm going to try and describe it. You know, I didn't actually know it was a robot until someone specifically said it was a robot, like a page later, because it looks like an alien creature. It's like a spherical thing with weird polka dots on it and then like tentacles like an octopus or something. But it's got five. So what would you call that? Pentapus? Pentapus. I don't know why it has weird like polka dots on it as a robot. Why it's this weird organic alien looking thing. But, you know, I guess he had like 10 years in prison to come up with this design. So who am I to say that he did it wrong? It did. So there's a security guard who's dealing with this because basically he sends the robot to on a test to basically go trash, I believe, Norman Osborn's lab or something. And the security guard sees it and is like, my bullets can't hurt it. I've got to go for help. But how can I describe this thing so they won't think I was seeing things? In fact, how do I know I'm not seeing things? And I was like, maybe that was the whole point. He was like, I'm going to design something super crazy looking so that what happens is, you know, when somebody comes across it, they're like, yeah, sure you saw that, buddy. Now, the flaw in that plan is then the robot goes on to completely trash this office, right? And you're like, well, something trashed this office. And, you know, this security guard came running and said there was a weird thing, a weird creature, I guess, and that's what trashed the office. And it's like, well, what do we do with that? What do you do with that guy? Because you're like, well, the office is in fact trashed. I know he didn't do it because he wasn't in the room. But he's insisting it's a weird creature. Did somebody pay him off to run off and then say it was a weird creature? I mean, I guess that could work. But why would you come up with that story? You know what I mean? Why wouldn't you say, like, I had diarrhea, so I was in the shitter. I came out and the office had been trashed. I don't know, something. Peter Parker and Flash Thompson have another one of their almost fist fights related to Gwen Stacy somehow. And I thought it would be a great Marvel what if. What if Peter did kick Flash's ass? Like, he just fucking beat the shit out of him just one time. You know what I mean? Flash kind of deserves it. And it's like, I feel like he could beat him up with enough restraint. Spider-Man has beaten up many criminals and not killed them. You know what I mean? It's not like he crushes their skull into powder and then they die after being on life support for 4 days. They usually seem to be pretty much fine. So it's like, I feel like he could just fight Flash Thompson and mildly kick his ass, but, you know, not kick his ass in a Spider-Man way. Maybe that wouldn't be such a bad thing. I know what they're trying to do. They're like, look, he's such a good guy. He's the hero, so of course he's not going to do that. But, you know, he could. Anyway, Spider-Man encounters the alien robot-y thing, destroying the lab, tries to fight it. He can't fight it, but then uses fire to beat it, which, you know, trusty old reliable fire, right? So then Norman Osborn shows up to survey the damage. And he's like, and Harry Osborn is like thinking Spider-Man did this, because people did see Spider-Man fleeing the scene. So they didn't see this weird robot. They did see Spider-Man, and they're like, Spider-Man must have trashed this office, which, you know, isn't something that this professor planned. But it just kind of worked out that way. And so here's where the story gets weird and convoluted. Harry Osborn is talking to his dad, Norman, and is like, I don't get it. Why would Spider-Man try to burn down your plant? And Norman is like, don't believe everything you hear, Harry. It wasn't Spider-Man. Someone else was behind this. And Harry says, but who? And he's like, none of your blasted business. And then he's looking off and sweating, and he's thinking, I can't tell the kid how I cheated Professor Strom out of his inventions and then railroaded him into jail when he began to threaten me. It has to be Strom who's after me. Okay, so Strom is after Osborn, but Osborn doesn't want to tell his son that, you know, it's because he screwed him over big time, right? Which is fine. That part I get. But here's what I don't get. The first thing. Harry is convinced it's Spider-Man. Everybody else witnessed Spider-Man doing it. And Spider-Man having done it would relieve Osborn of this concern of, like, what if people find out I screwed Strom out of this, right? So why wouldn't he just let Harry go on believing it was Spider-Man? Why is he like, huh, don't believe everything you hear. Maybe Spider-Man isn't the menace we've all been led to believe. Why wouldn't he just be like, yeah, probably was. That guy's a real dick and keeps screwing with stuff, doesn't he? I'm just the latest victim of this menace. You know, and J. Jonah Jameson shows up and, of course, is like, yeah, must be Spider-Man. And then... I thought it was funny, too, because, like, the concern here is, like, the lab is trashed, and Norman Osborn is like, if these attacks continue, they won't renew my insurance. We've got to do something. And I was like, yeah, I wonder if, like, supervillain robot attack or Spider-Man attack is, like, a pre-existing condition. Is pre-existing condition something that exists in, like, business insurance? I mean, it would seem like bullshit to me. Even though I suspect this is how insurance works, if an insurance company was like, we're not going to insure your company because, you know, robots keep showing up and trashing it for no real reason. And it's like, well, that's kind of the whole reason I have insurance is for stuff like that happening. It's sort of like how, you know, they change medical plans for animals. I have a friend who had a basset hound who had multiple major health issues. And they bought pet insurance for this basset hound kind of when pet insurance was a brand new thing. I think when a lot of people were like, this is a dumb idea, like I would never buy insurance for my dog. So they got a pretty good deal and they were locked into this contract that I think the insurance company deeply regretted. And according to my friend, they no longer make that kind of plan available. And he's like, I'm pretty sure it's because of dogs like mine. Anyway, we get a dialogue box that says, meanwhile, blithely swinging over the somnambulant city, we find Spider-Man, which I just was like, I need to pause for a second and say, like, Jesus Christ, come on, guys. Somnambulant city, give me a break. Foswell puts on his disguise as Patch, the underworld Stooley, who wears a different hat and an eye patch. Which, like, apparently, you know, there was Patch, there was Matches Malone, the Bruce Wayne alter ego, who I think wore an eye patch. But, like, criminals, I don't get it. Like, I don't get the patch as a disguise. I feel like someone wearing an eye patch is more likely to draw my attention than someone not wearing an eye patch. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like maybe it's because I read too many comics in my life. And so now I think an eye patch automatically, I'm like, that's a disguise. That's not real. Because, you know, in your lifetime, you don't really see a lot of people wearing an actual eye patch. You know what I mean? It just doesn't seem very common anymore. We must have gotten a lot better at protecting our eyes. Maybe it's like more people required by their workplace. They're like, listen, there's shit flying around. You got to wear fucking safety glasses, okay? Quit screwing around. I mean, maybe it's like in elementary schools, they stopped doing like, let's do field day. I know. Let's do the sharpened pencil run. But it's also crazy because like Spider-Man doesn't know that Patch and Foswell are the same person. And I'm like, how is that possible? He's like completely familiar with the idea of the secret identity. And it's just like that one eye patch. And I guess he shaved off his mustache, maybe. And it's like, it's such a crappy disguise. And you would think that someone like Spider-Man, who wears a full body costume, would be like hip to the idea of secret identities and maybe be like, I mean, that's a 2 out of 10 disguise, guys. So then Professor Strom makes another robot, which is even bigger and deadlier and shoots like rays or something. Which is always funny. This is, I find hilarious. Whenever like somebody like this builds a robot and, you know, this thing's like fucking 9 feet tall or something and it shoots a laser out of its eyes and it's like 10 times stronger and deadlier than the previous. And I'm like, yeah, there's no way this could go wrong. Like, why wouldn't I build a robot that's, you know, much stronger than anything would require and much deadlier than is really required? Because it's like, he built this robot. It's going to go trash Norman Osborn's office. You know what I mean? It's not really even trying to do anything other than that. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I don't really think it needs to be 100 times stronger than a man and able to shoot lasers to trash an office. I can trash an office and I'm as strong as one man. You know, maybe not any one man, but is it in general as one man? I'm very capable of trashing an office. In fact, this would be a good, like, Boston Dynamics challenge. I'd be like, you build a robot to trash an office. I will trash an office. I'll be like the John Henry of trashing an office. We'll see who can do better. But anyway, the robot shows up, and then Norman Osborn is, like, talking to Strom through the robot. And he's like, you can't get away with this. They'll catch you and send you back to prison. And Strom is like, let them. Who cares what happens to a robot? They can't send a robot to prison, or if they do, who cares? And I was like, is that really how that works? If I do a drone strike, am I like, that wasn't me, that was the drone? Is this a prescient view of drone military strikes? I'm very confident and comfortable saying absolutely not. This is a comic book and they're just doing a silly thing, but I like the attempt at the logical leap of just like, hey, they're going to, you know, like, I like the cops showing up and handcuffing a robot and then putting it in a jail cell. And they're like, well, we got him. We got the guy who did it. Okay. Now Spider-Man shows up. And Norman is thinking a lot of thoughts. He's like, why did he have to butt in? If he defeats the robot, it could ruin my plan to get rid of Strom forever. And then he's like, Spider-Man should have known better than to butt into something that doesn't concern him. I hope this robot finishes him off. He's becoming too dangerous to my plans. And then Spider-Man is fighting the robot, gets distracted, and Norman just punches him in the back of the head and then runs away. It's not clear to me what Norman Osborn's plans are and like why he's trying to get what he's going to do to Strom and how this all works. Very unclear to me. But anyway, Spider-Man, you know, the robot flees after, I guess, being done trashing the office in probably more time than it would take me. And then Spider-Man chases after it, gets to Strom, basically easily dispatches Strom because he's just some guy. But then Strom dies. Now, when Spider-Man is talking to Strom, there's someone off camera outside the panel aiming some kind of a rifle at Strom or Spider-Man. And then Spidey's spider sense is tingling. There's a gun in the window and he's like, another second and I would have been too late. He's all set to fire. Spider-Man goes chasing after whoever had the gun, but he can't find him. When Spider-Man comes back in the room, Strom is dead, and it looks like a heart attack. So I guess, and you know, then we find out it was definitely Norman Osborn with the rifle. And you're like, okay, so he did something to make him have a heart attack with the rifle, I guess, instead of just shooting him, which is kind of dumb because it's like, well, he escaped anyway, so no one knew it was Norman Osborn. So it's not like he needed to be like, oh, I didn't shoot him with a bullet. You can't prove I caused that heart attack. It's his version, I guess, of this is a very wacky issue legally. You can put a robot in jail. You can give someone a heart attack with a rifle of some kind and can't be convicted for that. But anyway, everyone kind of goes their separate ways. The professor's dead. Hopefully they carve professor into his gravestone and not, you know, don't forget that because he would just be furious. And everything's good in the world of Spider-Man after that until the next issue. Oh, wait, did I say issue 35? It's 37. I can't have, but if in case I did, that was issue 37. And next is up issue 38, Just a Guy Named Joe. So I guess they didn't really name that one with a podcast, you know, 50 years in the future in mind. And someone has to sort of entice people to listen to it and be like, it's called Just a Guy Named Joe. They even put the word just in there of like only. It's only a guy named Joe. So I don't know, I guess tune into the next one where we'll talk about Just a Guy Named Joe, or don't, because whatever. I can only care as much as the people who made the comic.
Like a vine, look out.